coming year, not only just conversions of souls that are radically saved, but our own souls being radically surrendered to the Lord and what that looks like. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for his high calling. I thank the Lord that he doesn't just allow us to remain where we are. He doesn't just allow us to exist and just to skate into heaven, but he intends to make us more and more effective in our walk, more and more fruitful, more and more purposed, and in that, more and more fulfilled. Every year of our lives should be a year of greater fulfillment. Every year of our lives, not only fulfillment of like personal fulfillment, personal goals, because sometimes those things stall out. I mean, if we're honest, without any of our control, your personal goals can stall out. Your personal fulfillment can stall out, and you can be forced into a time of waiting. But the word of the Lord will still be fulfilled over your life. The Lord will still perform his word concerning you. That's why it's critical to be able to get into the heart of God and to stay there and abide there. Tonight, I'm gonna preach part two. We'll just call this part two out of three. Of the way of the Lord, and this sermon, and I really wanted to preach it on a Sunday morning, but it didn't work out that way, so we're going to do it tonight, and everybody can listen online if they need to, and I haven't done a good job, by the way, over Christmas holiday of posting things online, so I failed there, but we're back in business, so I'll put these up. But tonight, I want to preach to you about the Lord's promise for restored families and for a restored household. And you can just go ahead and go, man, that I don't think that applies to me. I'm an empty nester. That doesn't necessarily apply to me because I'm in a place where I can't necessarily see that come to pass in my family. Still, this word is for you, because this word is about how the Lord is a Lord of completion, that he shepherds all of us. He sets the lonely in families. So even if you say, man, I'm a single Pringle, I ain't got nobody in this world. Well, the Lord wants to restore you to a place in community. The Lord wants to restore you to unity within the family of God and within your church body and your church family here. And at the end of 2026, not only do I want to see no unsaved people in this church and this church busting out of its seams with new believers, but no lonely people in this church. No lonely people, but there be people in this church body that know I have family. I am loved. In my Father's house, there's a place for me, like that song says. And I have a fellowship with the family of God. Because there are seasons in your life where you can feel like you fell out of fellowship even though you did not lose faith. That's a lonely season. That's a very lonely season when you feel like, man, I just, for whatever reason, whether your life got too busy or you had a chronic illness, or you had to take care of an aging parent, or you had a work schedule that was different, and for whatever reason you felt like I was in a place where I was not fully engaged with the family of God. The heart of God is not only to see us radically surrendered, but to see us fully engaged and enveloped with love from the family of God and fully restored to the family of God. And there are many people in this world that are hurt and wounded and need family. They need family. This Thursday when we went to Stone County Jail, there was several girls there that were ready, wanting to share, and that's fine. Sometimes when that happens, it's not good. Gets too wonky, but sometimes when it happens, it's good. And so this was a pretty good night for sharing, and we were talking about healing and how when God heals you, he restores your security. I think we were even talking about the Good Shepherd. And so I was asking the women, you know, think back to a time in your life when you truly felt safe. When was a time in your life that you truly felt safe? And two of the women in that jail said, this is the first time I've truly felt safe. While I'm here is that one, and one of the women in prison right now could bond out. She has enough in the bank to bond out, and she is refusing until her court date because she feels safer where she's at. And we cannot fathom the feeling of an orphan if we have never been there, the feeling of being an orphan if we have never been there. But when you are spiritually orphaned, a prison feels safer than your home. But when you are spiritually orphaned, a church house should feel like just the marriage supper of the Lamb. God, bring us the broken, bring us the orphaned. Bring us those that need to be set in families. Bring us those that need to see the idea of family restored. That's the Lord's heart. And he's been doing that through Maranatha for a long time. But through the heart of Eunice especially, he's giving us more of a framework to very purposefully do it, to very purposefully say, no one will feel alone here this year. No one will feel alone, and everyone will feel that they have a family. And so here's what Isaiah 40 says. If we go back to our scripture, and I want to go to verse 10. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. I feel like the Lord has allowed me to live this out as a pastor at Maranatha. This is something that he has allowed me to learn, is how to be a strong and gentle shepherd. Every one of the Wednesday night kids, and I pray that this is true, I feel like it's true, will behave if I get after them. If I have a come to Jesus meeting with those children, they will behave. Except for those three. We got those three, but they're new. They don't know us all yet. We got to have like a special training session for just for those three. That's all we'll say about the three. The Trinity, the new Trinity that's coming. But we're going to love them. We're going to love the mess out of them. We're going to love them ornery little boogers. But sometimes the teachers will say, I'm going to go get Alicia. I'm about to go get Alicia. And when we first, when we do camp and someone has like not been around me, they are alarmed at how I get after them kids. They're like, golly, this lady's rough. But God has allowed me to be in their lives so much that I can ream them out and at the same time draw them in. And I do understand the strength and softness of shepherding, I feel like. I feel like that is one thing that the Lord has given me a heart for, so that we can take those rough and tough, rowdy kids and even rough and tough, rowdy teenagers and line them out and at the same time let them know those people love me. They love me. My pastors love me. And it takes the strong arm of the shepherd. And he wants to not only lead us in that way, but teach us how to live and love in that way. And because to be a leader in this society, in this world, you have to be strong. You have to be strong. You have to be willing to take a firm stand. You have to be willing to lead with a lot of conviction. You have to be willing to lead aggressively and assertively and very influentially. But at the same time, you have to be willing to love purposefully and to love very intentionally. And the Lord is going to bring that. He's going to bring it to the flock. That's everybody, right? To the lambs. That's the young ones, right? To those who are with young, that's the overworked and the overextended. There's nobody that gets left out in the family of God. I will say that again. There's nobody that gets left out in the family of God. He doesn't just say, this is my flock. He says, this is my flock, but also this is my daughter. This is my beloved. This is my son. This is my wild one. This is my strong-willed child. This is mine that's extra needy right now. He don't hate you because you're extra needy, by the way. He doesn't despise you if you are extra needy. He binds up the brokenhearted. That's in reference to the shepherd. That's in reference to the wounded sheep that needs to be bound up, and once they're bound up, carried. If you bind up a wounded sheep, they don't get to walk on their own. They got to be carried around. They're wrapped around the neck of the shepherd. If you're one of those, and you say, man, I just feel like I'm always having to go to the Lord. He loves you just the same. He loves you just the same. You belong just the same. The whole flock, all of the lambs, all of those with young, they're all being addressed when he begins to restore the family of God. And not just the family of God. I believe this is personally for families as well. And what he will do is restore the ability to lead with both strength and softness. Because it's easy to get it out of kilter and to have too much of one and not enough of the other. And he's restoring the balance. He's restoring balance, not just in what we receive from him, because a lot of people have the wrong idea of God. They think either that he's gracious to the degree that they think that grace is free and we can live how we want and he's just going to love us anyway and nothing can remove us from the hand of God. And then a lot of people think that he is ready to strike down holy fireballs from heaven and smite everyone and we can't do a single thing wrong. And neither one of those is right, but he comes in strength and corrects and he comes in comfort and he heals and he's restoring that and he's restoring the ability to do that in us. We cannot walk the path of restoration unless we have the heart of the shepherd. We cannot do the work of restoration if we only have the heart of a hireling, because the hireling leaves. When the wolf comes, the hireling leaves. But the shepherd stays, and that's ultimately Jesus. He's the good shepherd, but we have his heart, and we do the same, and we stay. I will just tell you very honestly that I feel like there have been moments this year where Jordan and I had to say, we will stay. And these wolves can bare their teeth, but we will stay because we're not hirelings. And we love these sheep and we love this place. And so we can receive the comfort of God enough to walk in the strength of God. There are people in this world that need you in their lives that much that you need to have that heart. Some of them in your own family, but some of them just need to be brought in to the family of God. So he restores balance. One arm gathers and rules. One arm comforts. We do not simply need correction. We need a restoration of peace. We do not simply need correction, but we need a restoration of comfort in the presence of God. It's not meant for you to walk in a continual lack of peace. If you don't have peace with God, the Lord wants to restore that to you. For those in this world that don't have peace with God, the Lord wants to restore that to them. By the way, when those ladies said, this is the first time I felt safe, oh, we went there. We went there. And said, there is a way that you can feel safe anywhere that you go. There is a way that you can feel safe. He will bring in his sheep and they will find pasture. He leads you beside still waters. He restores your soul. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there is a way that you can say, no matter where I go, I will feel safe. I will feel secure, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. And so we have to come to the point where we understand rulership and strong authority, and then we also understand gentle leading, and we experience both. We have to give and provide both. I receive both, right? I receive the gentle leading of the Spirit, but I also have to receive the smack to the face. I have to sometimes look, he's got to smack me around a little bit. And thank God that y'all let me do the same to you, right? Sometimes I'm rough talk you. And then sometimes we can just have a nice encouraging word and we can understand that we have to have both. And it's more than that, by the way. It's not abrasiveness. It's not abrasiveness, but it's assertiveness and conviction and repentance. It's correction, sometimes quick correction, right? Fast correction. If Hadley was, and she wouldn't do that now because she's got a lick of sense. But back in her toddling days, if she would have toddled into the street, every single one of us would have jerked her little behind back. Because there is a point where you need swift correction. And then there is a point where you need strong protection. We have to recognize that in our world as we see a restoration of balance, as we see a restoration of people to the families of God. Can you be patient to the lambs? Can you be patient to the ones that continually want to run? Because, I believe that God's raising up lions, but they're probably going to start as little lambs. And can we be patient with those that continually want to get out the gate, continually want to escape the sheepfold, continually want to wander off a cliff, where we say, you know what? The Lord has been patient with me. I'm going to be patient with you. The Lord has been faithful and gracious and gentle with me. I'm going to be faithful and gracious and gentle to you. We cannot do it without Jesus. It only happens in and through Jesus. And then not only that, he doesn't just restore balance, but he restores purpose. He says his reward is with him. That's awesome. Yes. The presence of God, the promises of God, all of those good things. And then he says, and his work before him. It's a beautiful thing that we get to cooperate with God for his promises. It's a beautiful thing that we get to cooperate in the work of the Lord in order to receive the word of the Lord. That's one of the most blessed adventures of your life, is not just receiving the reward, but doing the work. God has a work for you to do. God has a work for you to get involved in. God has a work that will insert you into other people's lives. God has a work that requires that you become someone with the heart of a shepherd. Families are restored when fathers gain the father's heart. Families are restored when mothers learn to operate in their anointing and their calling as mothers. And spiritual families are restored when believers operate with the heart of the shepherd. When believers operate in a place of balance, but also in a place of purpose and fruitfulness, labor will no longer feel fruitless. If you have been frustrated, and I wrote this just as something that I believe for this year, if you have been frustrated with fruitlessness and you have continued in the work, you will see the reward. I'll tell you who I want the reward for, them teenagers. I got a little time with them kids, but I want those teenagers to get on fire for God. I want those teenagers to understand their calling. I want them to understand their capacity and their potential, and I do not want to lose another 20-something-year-old kid to this world. And by the way, every one of them that's wandered, I'll keep chasing. That don't mess me up either. Because as long as you still have breath in your body, the Lord is not done with you, and neither is your pastor, right? But I believe that there is a reward to come from our labor, even from your labor. How many times have you sent these kids to camp? How many times have you bought, you're about to buy some more chocolate-covered strawberries? How many times have you bought fireworks you didn't need? How many times have you invested in these kids? How many times have we done the work? And I believe that we've seen a reward bit by bit and piece by piece, but there is a reward to unfold that's greater than anything we've seen. If you are parenting, if you are in the midst of parenting, you're going to see reward for your labor. You're going to see fruitfulness for your labor. You're going to see through the work of the shepherd, through the work of the one that leads us, through the work of the one that strengthens us and gives us wisdom, you're going to see reward. And then you'll be glad that you were allowed to do the work. When you walk into a reward, you don't go back and say, I sure wish I hadn't had to work so hard for it. You say, thank God that he let me be a part of that. Thank God. Thank God that he let me walk that road. If you've ever walked a hard road with somebody, and I know that most, if not all of you have, at the end of that road, what you say, especially when a life is radically changed and someone is radically redeemed, you don't say, I sure wish I hadn't had to do that with you. I sure wish we could have done that the easy way. That's not how you feel at the end of it. Even though we wish people hadn't had heartache, we wish people hadn't had to endure trauma. But what we say is, I'm so glad that, I know, because you've been there, and some of you have told me this. I'm so glad that God let me be a part of that. I'm so glad that God let me be on that journey with them. If you're in the middle, or you're at the beginning, or wherever you're at with your children, or with spiritual children, or with those that God has called you to disciple, stay strong. Stay strong. You're in the middle of the work, but you're headed towards the reward. He's restoring balance. He's restoring purpose. The Lord's work will not be neglected. Those that feel useless will be set to work. Those that feel useless will be set to work. Not only do I pray and believe that there will be no lonely people here, but there will be no one here that feels invaluable or useless. There will not be a person here that says, I don't know what the Lord could use me for. The Lord has a work for every single person. The Lord has a work for every single heart that he will set in your heart and in your spirit. And it will be fruitful. We will be a fruitful body of believers. This is going to be one of the most fruitful years for the church. For one thing, because we're running out of time. And for another, because it's another year that the Spirit of God is on the earth. And I don't know why we get it twisted, but we think that the longer that the Spirit of God exists on the earth, that the dimmer that the light will become, and that's not at all what will happen. Look at Nigeria. What do you think's about to happen in Iran if you don't think there's about to be a revival of epic proportions in Iran? There's about to be one. And it's because the Spirit of God is still alive and well. And the Lord is coming with a strong arm, and his reward is with him. Not only am I going to reap the benefit of the small amount of work that I have done, but I'm going to reap the benefit of the lengthy work that Elmer's done. I'm going to reap the benefit of the faithful life that my parents have lived. I was just looking at a picture of my granny and her, is it 10? 10 siblings. There were 10 of them all together, is that right? So 9 siblings. And there's like 3 pictures. I found them yesterday. They're beautiful pictures. They're cool. You know, they're like those awesome pictures from the 70s probably where, you know, everybody's just dressed awesome and it looks like it came fresh out of a Polaroid or whatever. But we've had found several of my granny and her siblings. And I can look at every single one of them. And this is in the wake of looking at Philip Yancey and his fall and all of these moral failures of all these mighty men of God. And I look at all these dead broke fishermen and farmers and old time preachers, didn't have nothing to their name. Probably changed, those women probably changed more flat tires than my kids will ever change in their whole lifetime, even my boys. I mean, they lived with nothing, but they had integrity. And I was telling my mom and dad, I said, I don't know that we could find 10 people again, a family of 10 people that I could say every one of those people loved the Lord with all of their heart. Every one of those people purely served God. There was not a scandal in that family. There was not a moral failure in that family. There were 10 men and women who were raised with nothing, but they had everything. They were so rich towards the Lord. And it was such a strong legacy of faith. And I'm going to reap the reward of that. You're going to reap the reward of that. And we need to look. We need to look into the annals of history. And it may not be in your own family, but it's in your family of faith. You may not have that kind of legacy, but you have that legacy through this word. And you have that legacy through this fellowship for you to say, I'm standing on the shoulders of men and women who loved the Lord with all their heart, their soul, their mind, and their strength. And I will take up that mantle and I will live as a member of the family of God in a way that does justice to the standard that's been set before me. Because the standard that is set before us is not whitewashed Christianity. It is not moral failure. It is not compromise. It is not, and I understand that if you've had to walk a road of shame, you can come back. You can always come back and you can always be restored. And even this mighty man of God, Philip Yancey, he's the latest kind of scandal. He can be restored. He can. But there's something to be said for steadfastness and faithfulness, and there is a reward in that. And we can reap it, and not only that, but we can sow that. We can sow it. You ain't going to find me and Jordan not doing ministry. if our three kids decided to go, and God forbid they do it, it ain't going to happen by the mighty name of Jesus. But if my three kids decided they's going to run into this world and lose their mind and decide they did not love the Lord anymore, you would still find me here. You would still find Jorn here. You would still find us doing everything that we have done because I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep working, and I'm going to keep sowing, and I'm going to keep loving and keep laying out that road. And if you have prodigal children, don't you give up. Don't you walk away. Don't you think that this legacy won't still pay out one day for those nincompoops who ain't doing what they ought to be doing because they've decided to go and lose their mind, because one day it's going to come back to them and they're going to return to the Lord, and they're going to be able to reap the reward of your faithfulness and your labor, and they're going to be able to step back into that road and back into the way of the Lord, and they're going to say, I'm glad my mama held the line. I'm glad that my granny held the line. I'm glad that somebody ahead of me decided to go ahead and lead with strength, and I'm glad that I get to walk into that reward because somebody before me was faithful. It happened in the Old Testament over and over and over that God honored his promise to Abraham for Abraham's descendants when they did ridiculous stuff. Now, you can't save your kids, but you can absolutely plant seeds for your children that they will reap in later years, and grandchildren as well. And don't stop. Don't stop. Don't get discouraged. Don't lose faith. The enemy doesn't just want you to lose faith for your sake. He wants you to lose faith for their sake. Don't stop, because the Lord is coming, his reward and his work, and he is restoring purpose to the hopeless. People will be accountable to their purpose. I want to turn, and I'm going to close out with this, but I want to turn to Isaiah 30, I think 39 probably. Yeah, this is where I want to go, Isaiah 39. This is before he gave the promise of healing and restoration. What he was basically telling Israel was, y'all are about to go into captivity. Babylon is going to come and get you, and you will be carried away to Babylon. They will put rings in your nose and lead you away, and you will be in exile. And he goes and tells Hezekiah this. Hezekiah was one of the best kings early on. Hezekiah had a heart for the Lord. He was a good king, but Hezekiah got led into idolatry. And so he gets to a point where Isaiah is telling him this, that if you, because you have not turned to the Lord, you're about to go into judgment. And in 39, Isaiah 39 verse 5, Isaiah says to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers, oh, by the way, and I could preach this right here. I could preach a whole sermon on this in this story. Isaiah asked Hezekiah, what did you do when the rulers of Babylon came? And he said, I led them in my house. And Isaiah said, what did they see? And Hezekiah said, they saw everything. I showed them everything. Wisdom. And so he said, everything that they saw, they're about to carry away. In verse 5, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they will take away your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And Hezekiah said, this is one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good. He said, at least there will be peace and truth in my days. That's that a man's heart can get there, where he says, as long as I'm good, I don't care about my children. But this mindset has taken over our culture. As long as I'm good, as long as life is good for me right now. But there's going to be a restoration of a hope and a future. I pray this over our community. I pray this over the parents of our children that we do ministry to on Wednesday nights. I pray this over those that we do outreach to, that this heart would be replaced. That this heart that says, as long as it's good with me at least it didn't happen to me. And that can creep it, that can creep into our houses, into our lives, into as well. But God is restoring accountability. And by the way, if he can't restore accountability, he cannot restore strength and comfort, and he cannot restore fruitfulness and purpose. What has to come first, and this is where we're going in prayer tonight. And Jordan, do you have something for the altars? You want to use my phone? Okay. Oh, my dad's here. I forgot my dad's here. Never mind. No. You get up there and play for sure. You can go ahead and get up there. I'm not used to him being here on Sunday night. So, okay. Anyway, what has to come before all of that is that we take accountability and we say, I'm going to live my day in a way that will affect their days. Jesus might come back this month. That'd be awesome. Jesus might return in this year, and all of these promises will be met in the most full way, in the most absolute way. But also, we may remain, and we may have needed to occupy for another 10, and in that way, we're already going to see Devin as a grown man. We're already going to see Tucker and Hadley as teenagers. We're already going to see me and Jordan get even more old and gray. I'm letting my gray hair shine this week, I guess. Even though I feel like when you're fasting, number one thing you should do is fix your roots, right? This is saying my life is a mess right here. What does it say in the Bible? Not to wear sackcloth and ashes. But, you know, in our world, it's like, fix your roots. Don't walk around with them gray roots. But anyway, we will get more gray, and by that time I want to have lived even more faithfully and with even more accountability. What we need to embrace tonight, what we need to embrace in these altars, is accountability to one another. Accountability to the purposes of God for this family of faith and for all that will come in. Because it's meant to be a place where no one is forgotten, where no one is alone, and where no one is left unsaved and unshepherded. And God has a promise for us. He has a promise for our families. He has a hope and a future like we never could have imagined. But it's going to come first through embracing accountability and saying, I will put weight on what happens in my day. I will put weight in the faithfulness of my year. I will put weight and accountability on my 2026 and say, it matters how I live. It matters how I pray. It matters how I believe. It matters how I engage. The things that I do matter. If you have told yourself the things that I do don't matter, or if the devil has lied to you, because sometimes he can make you feel isolated, he can make you feel alone, he can make you feel out of joint, and you can think the things that I do don't matter. Can I just restore the truth to you and tell you it matters so much? And that's whether you're a member of Maranatha or not, that's for the body of Christ, that it matters so much. I was listening to a podcast this week of a guy that had been radically saved. And they were saying, like, when did this start, do you think? And he said, honestly, and he's like a 20-something-year-old guy. But he said, I think it started with my baseball coach when I was 8. He got saved when he's 20-something. But he can go back and say, I just remember that my baseball coach prayed with us before baseball games. What you do matters. So much. And so let's just gather in the altars tonight and just say, Lord, I'm going to take accountability. I'm going to take accountability to you and to this church body and to the body of Christ for my year, for my actions, for my seeds of faith. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and begin to gather into these altars. And let's just make it a place of covenant where we say, Lord, we're surrendering our year to you. Make us accountable. Make us fruitful. Show us when to be strong and show us when to be gentle. Help us to enter into your work and help us to receive your reward. Lord, I pray over every person in this house, in this church house. I pray, Lord, over every family. I pray over every parent. Lord, I pray over every household that's represented, that you would show us, Lord, that you would show us a restoration of what you've called us to be, that you would show us